talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go, it's a getaway Friday, September the 19th, 2025, 17 coming up on 18 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Do want to remind everybody that tonight we will be covering the big rivalry game, the big throwdown here in Marion tonight. Harding versus River Valley over at Presidential Stadium. Broadcast will probably start around 6:45, but if we're not on at 6:45, we'll definitely be on by 7. But I would tune yourself in about 6:45, and it's going to be a throwdown tonight to be sure. 2-2, River Valley. 1-3, Harding. Home game at Harding tonight. Big rivalry game. Thank Pastor Steve Whitaker. A year and a half gone, and walks back in like picking up a bike.
Yeah, the show went well.
I like him. I've always liked him. He did 5 years the first time around, and hopefully we get another 5 years here. Well, maybe more. We'll just go indefinitely. I've always gotten along with Pastor Whitaker. I probably engineered more of his shows than anybody else's. Did you like Tevin? I don't even know what we called that. We didn't really have a title.
It was called Over the Back Fence.
Well, that's what our show used to be we did together. The original show he did was called The Pastor's Spot. So I don't know. I'll ask him that next week, which one he wants to refer that as or to. But, hey, do you like hearing from Pastor Whitaker? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, we do know somebody who liked hearing from Pastor Whitaker is our friend Bob Welsh, who listened to that program this morning from Key West and sent us a picture from the southernmost point in the continental United States down in Key West. How about that?
Well, that's always nice. You're listening everywhere.
Bob, thank you for listening to the show, and I'll send that picture along to Pastor Whitaker as well to let him know his show was heard in Key West, the southernmost point in the continental United States. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So you listened. What'd you think of the content? Do you have any opinions on any of that?
Well, I mean, it was not really. I mean, he talked a little bit about the whole Charlie Kirk situation. I mean, he talked about, you guys talked about the brown jug for, you know.
A little bit.
But yeah, good show.
Well, yeah, it was. And this whole Jimmy Kimmel thing is just nothing but trouble.
There is the Jimmy Kimmel thing. Well, I don't know. You think he's going to get us? I guess they've given up. I dropped the notebook.
Maybe that's why you don't keep a notebook very well. Might be the problem.
But, do you think he's going to do the apology and pay Charlie Kirk's family or whatever else?
I don't even understand that pay part.
Yeah, I don't know if it's pay the family. I don't know exactly where the pay is about, but there's a whole money thing, I guess. There's that.
I would not bet on that.
You don't think he does it?
No.
You think he gets a show back?
Well, see, here's the problem. For people who say that ABC didn't want him, his contract is until May of 2026. So they're going to have to pay him until May anyway. So I don't know what this is about. And like I said, if it's not about the FCC, bad timing to do it the same day that the FCC chairman makes that comment. We can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Well, you know, yeah, it would seem that way. I mean, I don't know. Disney's an evil corporation. I'm sure that they could do something about that. In my opinion, Disney's an evil corporation.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting as time goes along. We'll see what happens there. But what was the other thing I was going to bring up here that happened this week that we had not had a chance to talk about? We talked about city council on Monday. We talked about the Goodrich story. Made it to 10 TV. But honestly, I said I don't think that that's going to make much of a blip.
Did you see any of the 10 TV story?
I didn't know. A little bit of it. Not much.
What was that about?
They just tried to tell what happened, but, you know, you can't show the video. So they, like, showed outside. You know, it. That's why I thought that is not a television story. You can't tell that story on television because the video is far too graphic.
So did they, but I don't know, did they tell, like, did they get, I can't think of the brother's name, but did they get him to, did they get his quotes or anything like that?
A little bit, but I mean, what you can do in 4 minutes.
Yeah. Well,
I think our story got more play than that. I got a call from the mother-in-law of the woman who was at the house that night.
Yeah, I still haven't heard that.
Who wanted airtime, and we gave it to her. So there you go.
Well,
and she said everybody had heard the interview. Everybody had heard about it. So, again, that's the stretch of this station, but that's also the interviews. You know, some are just going to go further than others. That's always funny when people say, are people listening? Well, I don't know. I'm sure some shows do better than others.
Well, yeah, that's usually how it works.
You know, I'm sure, I know that one on the Kids in Caledonia, that went to the moon and back. I heard back from everybody about that one.
Yeah, I mean, that one went, yeah, everywhere. I think that one was shared over loud.
Unbelievable. And you know what?
Everywhere.
And again, I got
probably
a call.
Hundreds of times, because, I mean, it was shared from your post. I mean, well over, I think, 20. I think it was something like 40 shares.
And, well, the Goodrich is getting close to that. I think it's well over 20.
So, I mean, and, you know, if your post gets shared well over 20 times, somebody else is sharing that post. I can almost guarantee it.
Well, and, you know, that's the thing. I mean, some stories are just more attractive than other stories to people, and those were two stories that really touched people. Well, again, those are the two stories in recent history that I've gotten calls about. I mean, I got the call from the mother-in-law on the Goodrich story, and I got the call from the mother of those kids on the Caledonia story.
What? Did she ever come on?
No, she wanted to, but no. I don't know what happened there. I think she was just shocked that the interview happened and it was getting that type of play. And
you ever hear anything back from her?
No, we had one conversation. That was it.
Well,
it was not a coherent conversation, let's put it that way.
Yes, I heard.
Yeah, she was upset.
I can imagine, yeah.
But not at me. She was not upset at me. I can honestly say that. She was upset for her.
Well, I don't know why she'd be upset at you.
Well, she called me. So I figured that was not going to be a pleasant conversation that her and I were going to have. But, you know.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know why she'd be upset at you. I mean, I guess you put him on. But
Well, that was it. Her concern was that I put him on and everybody had heard it. And now the people at her nursing home that she had worked at, you know, were asking her about it. So, you know, I think that was the anger that she had toward me, but I realized as soon as I got on the phone that she wasn't angry with me at all. She was angry at them for even saying those things.
Well, she never came on, so I don't know. I guess it wasn't this bad. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I think she did end up in court, so.
She did end up in court?
Yeah, I don't think it was. It's all kind of a gobbledygook on that.
Well.
Anyway, another day, another story. What can you do? What can you do? But, and you'll be putting together a video of our experience at the Little Brown Jug. People can view.
Maybe we'll see. We'll see how that works.
Well, I don't know why it's so difficult. There was a lot of material there.
Oh, it's just a lot of work, and I gotta, like, edit the cut the videos and pick a song and edit the song volume in certain spots, and just a lot of work.
That just sounds like heavy lifting. My goodness.
It's not hard by any means. I won't lie to you. It's pretty easy. It's just tedious.
You just got to have a good beginning and a good ending, and then just keep it steady in the beginning.
That's how you do it with everything. If you have a strong beginning, you're going to get people involved. And you have a strong ending, you got them.
Right. And as long as you know those two points, the rest of it's not all that hard to put together. You know what's interesting? This week, I think they celebrated it at the Primetime Emmys, but this week was the 40th anniversary of Golden Girls going on the air. And
are they doing a rerun?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's the 40th anniversary. So I put up, because I interviewed them all, and they're all dead now, except for Estelle Getty, because she was already in the throes of dementia when I got into radio. She was still alive, but she was in the throes of dementia. But I interviewed Bea Arthur many times. I interviewed Betty White many times. I interviewed Rue McClanahan several. The only one I didn't interview in person was Rue McClanahan, but I interviewed Bea Arthur in person a couple times. I interviewed Betty White in person. So I put up the pictures of me with Betty White and me with Bea Arthur a couple times that I had interviewed her for the 40th anniversary and talked about it was 40th anniversary week. People loved seeing those pictures. That show, they're all dead. I don't know what it is about that show and those women that people still like 40 years later.
I've never seen the show. Well, I have, but it's been long ago. I really couldn't tell you anything about the show. But I assume it was funny. I mean, it stayed on forever.
Well, it is, but it's so funny to me because this show was four women all over 50, mm-hmm. three of them over 60 when it started, and that was the cast. But this show was a top 10 show 6 of the 7 years it was on, and in the 7th year, it was still in the top 30, I think, on television. It never lost its time slot. And only ended because Bea Arthur left the show. So that it holds up 40 years later. You know, they're not doing tributes on the Emmys for The Cosby Show, which was big at the time. Growing Pains, Who's the Boss, Dallas. I mean, all these shows that were big.
Why didn't they just keep it going? They could have just written off
Bea Arthur's character. They did. That didn't go well. See that? When you got something that works, they did. They did. That's an interesting... Well, maybe it's worth telling in the 40th week. Bea Arthur came to them. Bea Arthur, I interviewed her several times. I don't think Bea Arthur really liked doing television. I think she was a theater actress, and I think she liked doing theater. And I think she did television because of the money, but I don't think she liked doing television. And
same concept, isn't it?
No. Theater, you're doing the same show every night, but you're taking it around and you're having a live audience. Television is, we're going to rewrite this, we're going to, you know, let's do this, let's block this, it's an ensemble and this whole thing. It's different every week. You know, some are better than others. So what happened was, everybody in, I don't know if people know this, well, certainly in those days, it might be different now, but everybody in television signs a 5-year contract. And it's always to the network's advantage. That's how your show gets on the air. They sign you to a 5-year deal. So even if they cancel you after the first episode, they don't have to pay you. That's part of the contract, but that gets you on the air. But if the show becomes a hit, they got you for at least 5 years. So that's why a lot of times they will keep a show on for 5 years. But after 5 years, they got to renegotiate with you and the whole bit. So, Golden Girls ran for 5 years, was very, very, very popular. And in the going into the 6th year, the show was still in the top 10 and still winning its time slot. And Bea Arthur said, I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm sure they backed up the money truck to her house. And so she said, I'll do a 6th year. And then it came to, and she said, I am not cut. They said, please, please, please. And they backed the money truck up again, so she did a 7th, but she told them at the beginning of the 7th, she said, this is it. You don't have the money. I'm out of here. 7th, I'm telling you right now.
You don't have enough money to keep me around.
I've done this for 7 years, and I've done it. I'm not doing anymore. At the end of the 7th year, I'm leaving. So the producers...
What was the budget of that show? I can't imagine it was incredibly high. I mean, it was...
Oh, when you're a top 10 show, you got a big budget.
Really? It was four women in an apartment. I didn't...
You're talking about how much did it cost to make it?
Yeah.
Well, with staff and things like that. You know, you got to have producers, directors, good writers.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
But anyway, so she told him at the beginning of the seventh year that she was done, no matter how well the show did or didn't do. And the producers went to the other three women and said, okay, listen, here's the idea.
You think if it skyrocketed to number one all of a sudden, most popular show in the United States, Bea Arthur would have just...
Oh, yeah,
I'm done.
She was done. She was done. And I think that... they went to the other three women. They said, we don't think this concept that we've got will sustain itself if Bea Arthur leaves. We don't think we can bring another woman in to fill her spot.
No, you don't bring another woman in. You just write off Bea Arthur.
Right, but they don't think that those three women without her...
They think they're bad.
they thought this was a show about these women. And when you take one of...
It's still the same three women.
Betty White told me that the show was like a table. A table has four legs. And when you take a table, leg off a table, the table doesn't balance right.
Three points is all it takes to make a plane.
No, she was right.
If you had a table with legs and a triangle, table's going to hold.
By the way, the show, they did it with the three women. They continued it on and decided that they would sell the house and they would buy a hotel.
Oh, you see, but that's where you messed up. You could have just kept on keeping on.
No, because here's the idea. Now, you got to follow through with the story. See, kids, you're gay. They don't listen to the whole story. Then we actually, I lot of questions for you here about
this. I know
this.
About the Golden Palace.
What do you know about it?
Well, I mean, I know that they sold the house and got a motel, and then...
Not a motel, hotel.
It's all the same concept.
No. Motel is you from the outside.
I know what the difference is. So they bought a hotel.
Motels are in Caledonia. Hotels are in Marion.
So they got a hotel, and I don't know, there's a dude who runs the desk, I guess.
But you know what the idea was?
Not real. I mean,
the idea was
had, like, celebrities coming every now and then. The hotel. And
well, that's a good way to do that. If you're in a house, it's going, all of a sudden George Burns shows up at your house. Well, that don't work. But if you own a hotel, that's a great idea in theory. You take these three women and you don't have this fourth strong character anymore. So you young up the cast a little bit because you got three old women. So you find a young guy to run the desk and you find a younger guy to be the cook. And then funny people, you hope. And then you also have guests every week who are staying at the hotel. And George Burns did guest on that show. And Eddie Albert and a lot of people famous guested on that show. In the one, Tim Conway and... Harvey Korman came in on that show.
I don't know any of those people.
Famous people at the time.
Well, that's good.
And Bea Arthur even came back for two episodes as a guest in the hotel.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, nice of her, wasn't it?
I know
Bea Arthur. I'm sure they had to pay the money. So the point was, but the problem was, they started that show and the idea was, well, now it'll be how these women deal with the world. You know, they've been in their house all these years. Now how do they deal with the world? Well, that... things started to go south quick with that show. And then they said, well, let's just do the show, but in a hotel. Let's just do Golden Girls in the lobby. Well, that didn't work. And it lasted 1 year. Gone. And did not win its time slot. And certainly wasn't in the top 30.
I think the show would have done better had they just written off Bea Arthur.
Well, they did write her off.
But they made a whole new show. I'm not talking to make a spinoff. I mean, just keep Golden Girls, write Bea Arthur off, and then keep the same three women in the house.
I think that would have been worse.
Why?
Because you have to... 7 years, you got to have some new material. You knew who these women were by that point. You've done all the stories. And if you're not bringing anybody else new in, what are you going to do?
I'll keep writing stories. For three of them.
No, but anyway, the point is, is that the show, for some reason, still holds up to this day for people.
Look, there's even the whole saying, best things come in threes.
Not in that case. I didn't even watch the tribute on the Emmys to them, but it was some... Reba McEntire, I think, was a part of it.
What was this?
Sunday.
Oh, this Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I don't watch the Emmys.
You know what? Hold on. We'll see if we can find it here. But did anybody see this tribute to the Golden Girls on the Emmys? I just read about it the next day. 740-383-9944.
Was it a good tribute?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I just...
Well, I mean, you read about it.
Well, they wrote it. Yeah, they wrote it well. Let's see. Golden Girls.
Jaden Daniels will not be playing on Sunday in the game against the Raiders. Per head coach Dan Quinn.
It's only 2 minutes, but what is it here? Golden Girls 77th Emmy Awards. Now, this was Reba McEntire, Karen Fairchild, and Kimberly Chaplin? Okay, here it is. 40-year tribute to the Golden Girls.
Forty years ago tonight, the Golden Girls premiered on NBC. It was an instant classic. It was a little edgier than people might remember. Like, for growing up, I was not allowed to watch the Blanche parts. Here to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the show and to present the award for Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series, please welcome Reba McEntire and Little Big Town's Carrie Fairchild, and Kimberly Schlappman.
Being afraid, travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being.
It's hilarious. I've never seen that until now, but all the people, the young people in the audience, know the theme, singing along.
It's a good song.
Yep, it was a theme song to this show.
It was just a theme song?
That was it.
That's it?
That's it.
It's not an actual song?
Nope.
Oh, well, I know the song.
And, you know, I think why that show, well, number one, it was the first show where the whole cast was over 50, and it was women. That had never happened. And I think it was also... it was funny. It was a funny show.
I've never seen it. Couldn't.
Very, very funny show.
I'm sure it was. It ran.
Those actresses being of that age and have been around that long, they knew how to work a line. They knew how. They were something. Funny, funny show.
Well, I mean, I can imagine. Like, I mean, you don't win your time slot doing nothing.
The writers on, well, by the way, there's only two shows in the history of television where the entire cast all got Emmy Awards during the run of the show. Do you know what they are?
No. I'm going to assume one of them's Golden Girls.
One of them's Golden Girls. Yep. All four of those women got an Emmy Award at some point during the run.
Well, by the same logic, Golden Palace.
No.
But I guess...
No, Golden Palace didn't even get nominated for an Emmy.
Oh, wait, you mean for the show they were in?
Yeah, in the show at the time.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant just people who had Emmys.
No, all four of the Golden Girls got an Emmy for that show while the show was on.
I see. Well, that's pretty good.
Only one other show in television history ever did that.
Was it the one... The Who Loves Lucy or whatever the name is?
Nope.
Is that the one with the goodbye scene?
I Love Lucy's.
Is that the one with the
Mary
goodbye
Tyler
scene?
Moore?
Yeah, that one.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know.
All in the Family.
All in the Family.
Carol O'Connor got one. Gene Stapleton got one. Rob Reiner and Sally Struthers. That was the cast.
I know Sally Struthers. And I think I just know the name. I don't know. I could even point her out in a lineup.
You know, I'll tell you now, this will not... I'm trying to describe this story. Probably will not come along. But this is something...
Do the Emmys even mean anything?
Oh, yeah. That's the television. That's like the television Oscar.
But, like, how do they choose the winners?
The Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. Basically, people who've won Emmys in the past and people who are elected to the board all vote. But this is Golden Girl humor, okay?
Okay.
Now, this has nothing to do, somewhat to do with old, but it's interesting. Now, this is good writing also, okay? So, Rue McClanahan's character, Blanche, was a Southern woman, okay? And she, in the beginning of the episode, is doing her family tree to prove that she is truly Southern. So she can join some group, some Southern group. So she's going back through her family tree. So you learn that early in the episode. And Bea Arthur's character, who's kind of the smart one from New York, she is appalled. Why do you want to be a member of such an awful group? Blah, 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 blah. But Rue McClanahan says, help me with this. I need your help working through my family tree. Okay, so that's what's going on in one half of the episode. And the other half of the episode, Estelle Getty, who was Bea Arthur's mother in the show, the really old one, she has lost her glasses. Which you think this is going nowhere. She's lost her glasses and she can't see. And so that's the premise. You think this is not going to meet anywhere. So they're in the kitchen at one point during the episode. And Bea Arthur's character and Rue McClanahan's character are sitting at the table going through the family history. Of, you know, so she can be truly Southern and get in this group. And Estelle Getty's character walks in the kitchen with dark sunglasses on. And I do remember, there's a line there where Bea Arthur's character turns and looks at her. Everybody laughs, of course, just because she's got these dark sunglasses on. And Bea Arthur goes, ladies and gentlemen, Roy Orbison. And I remember that got a laugh. But she said, oh, you know, these were your father's old glasses, so I'm going to wear them until I find my glasses. And, you know, so on and so forth. So, B. Arthur's character, you know, you really can't see anything out of those glasses, can you? And she goes, oh, I see fine. And she walked over to B. Arthur, and she leans over to her, and she says, who's the black guy sitting at the table? What's Rue McClanahan? So, obviously, she can't see. So, Estelle Getty goes over and just sits on a stool in the back of the room. So Bea Arthur and Rue McClanahan continue on with this, you know, looking, proving she's truly Southern. Well, Bea Arthur stumbles on to something and she goes, uh-oh. And Rue McClanahan goes, uh-oh, what? And she goes, I found a part of your family history that might not be so Southern. And she goes, well, what? And she goes, well, your great-great-grandmother was born a little outside of Atlanta. And she goes, how far outside of Atlanta? And she goes, New Jersey. And she says, what? She goes, you're a Yankee. And she goes, no, 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 I can't be a Yankee. She goes, you're a Yankee Doodle. And she goes, and then she picks up the paper to look at it, Rue McClanahan's character. She goes, oh, my God. And B. Arthur goes, oh, did I mention her last name was Feldman? And she goes, no, no. She says, I can't be Jewish. And Estelle Getty stands up, who's been sitting in the back of the room, and goes, I'll be damned, the black guy's prejudice. Now, that's humor. That's comedy.
Okay, that's good.
Isn't that good? You don't see that coming from anybody. You think the joke is all about her being Jewish, and then here you got the little joke machine sitting over there ready to lay one in. But they laid the ground when she came in that she couldn't see. Perfect joke. That's comedy.
Well, that's creative.
Isn't that creative? That's the humor that show had. That's why I think young people like it, old people like it, women like it, men like it, and it holds up 40 years later.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's just one of those things, I guess. I mean, the joke itself doesn't really age.
Well, no, and Bea Arthur told me, she said when she first read it, she did not want to do the show. That was a funny story, too. What an hour this is. Reminiscing. 740-3839. Yeah. If you have anything you'd like to say. Well, I interviewed them. They're all dead now, so what are they going to do? Sue me? Bea Arthur told me that they had cast Rue McClanahan and her character. They had cast Betty White and her character. They'd cast Estelle Getty. And the lead on the show, the main character, was Dorothy. And in the description of the character, it was a B. Arthur type. And they read all these actresses. And I guess the producers could not come up with anybody to play. And they said, they went to Rue McClanahan, who had been in another series with B. Arthur, and they said, oh, can you talk to B? She keeps rejecting this. Can you get her to please do the show? And Rue said, oh, I've been wanting to work with her again. Let me call her up and see what I can do. And she said, she called her up and said, what are you doing? This is the best script that's come along in ages. Why don't you want to do this show? And she said, I have no interest in playing Maude and Vivian meet Betty White, which were their characters on the old show. And she said, no, you've got it all wrong, B. She said, Betty is playing the idiot, and I'm playing the sexy one. And B said, oh, well, that's very interesting. And B told me later on that she said, I read the script, and she said, I never thought about it being older women. She said, it was just the best piece of writing I had read in a long time. And she said, I will get off my... She didn't say butt, but she said, I will get off my butt and I'll go back to work. She said it was just so good.
So that's how they got her into Golden Girls.
Yep.
And then after the fact, she was just like,
Well, she did it for a while. I think she was proud of the show. She didn't want to do it forever.
Why not?
Again, you don't do something forever. I imagine at some point she read a script and said, you know, I think we've done this before. Or, this isn't quite as good as it was in the first year.
Not as original?
Well, it's hard to do 24 a year back in those days, and that's what you did.
Why are you doing 24? I think an average season of shows now is like 12. I don't know.
24 was a season. You'd run from September to May and take the summers off. So with reruns for holiday weeks, 24 was a full season of shows. So you could, by 5 years, you had done over 100 shows.
Well, that's pretty good.
But it was a good show. And anyway, but what a reaction, even on Facebook, when I put those pictures up of Betty and B. People still love them.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine why.
Especially Betty White.
Well, they've just kind of played Betty White up.
As I said, I liked Betty White, but Betty White was never the star of anything that was successful. She became famous awfully late in life by being old, essentially. She got the SNL thing, and that's what did it for her.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Didn't we cover this?
I don't know, maybe.
I'm sure we did.
SNL thing.
SNL, that Betty...
What'd she say?
There was a Facebook campaign started that they wanted Betty White to host Saturday Night Live.
Well, yeah, we talked about that, but
that's
like,
what made her popular again.
Okay, but what'd she say on the Saturday Night Live?
In her monologue?
Yeah.
She was just funny.
Oh.
I mean, it was this 88-year-old woman or whatever at the time, and she was just very funny.
Well, that's good.
You've seen that, haven't you?
I don't know that I've seen it.
Well, let me see if I can find that.
I remember us talking about it.
That's worth listening to.
I don't know that I've seen it, though.
The monologues on SNL. Now, remember, this is after a Facebook campaign that wanted her on.
Why? Who started this Facebook campaign?
I don't know, but it was popular at the time. And SNL said, well,
why?
I don't really know.
Because Betty White, according to you, at least, she wasn't very popular up until then.
Well, she'd been on a lot of things. She just was not the star ever. She wasn't the star of the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Guess who was? And she wasn't the star of Golden Girls. Bea Arthur was. So here she is at 88 on this new, very New York young show because they wanted her there. And she delivered the goods that night on Saturday Night Live. And then she had a whole nother career right up till her death. But here's her...
She's dead?
Oh, she died quite a while ago.
How long ago?
Well, she was 99 when she died. Gotta go sometime.
Wait, I thought Betty White was still alive.
Nope. Here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Betty White.
hosting Saturday Night Live. I'm not sure. You, many of you know that I'm 88 and a half years old. So it's great to be here for a number of reasons. You know, I'm not new to live TV. In 1952, I started my first live sitcom, which was Life of Elizabeth. And of course, back then, we didn't want to do it live. We just didn't know how to tape things. So I don't know what this show's excuse is. You know, I have so many people to thank for being here, but I really have to thank Facebook. When I first heard about the campaign to get me to host Saturday Night Live, I didn't know what Facebook was. And now that I do know what it is, I have to say, it sounds like a huge waste of time. That people on it are losers, but that's only because I'm polite. People say, but Betty, Facebook is a great way to connect with old friends. Well, at my age, if I want to connect with old friends, I need a Ouija board. Needless to say, we didn't have Facebook when I was growing up. We had phone book, but you wouldn't waste an afternoon on it. Facebook just sounds like a drag. In my day, seeing pictures of people's vacations was considered a punishment. And when we were kids, we didn't say we were single. We were just kids. It was weird if you weren't single. Yes, we had poking, but it wasn't something you did on a computer. It was something you did on a hayride. Under a blanket. Oh, sorry. Things were a lot different when I was growing up. My father, Horace, was a traveling salesman who moved our family to California during the Great Depression. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you only read about in novels. And to think I've lived through a world war, worked on radio and films on Mary Tyler Moore and the Golden Girls. And and now I'm here tonight because you wanted me to be. I really just want to say I feel so loved. Thank you. If I could, I would take you all on a big hayride. Starting with you, sir. No, not you. You. Guess what? Jay-Z is here. And if I had a dime for every time I've said that, I'd have one dime, which wasn't anything to shake a stick at in my day. We have a great show for you tonight, so stick around. And we'll be right back.
And it went on to be the highest rated show SNL had, like, in 5 years.
So what would Betty White go on to do?
She did some other sitcoms, and she wrote books, and did guest stars.
She should have done some stand-up comedy. I don't think she wrote those jokes, but
no, I'm
they're
sure.
They're good jokes.
I'm sure she did not write those jokes. But she delivered them well.
She did.
Well, see, I think that was what, you know, you had these four actresses that were all very good, and they could deliver the jokes. They could get a laugh line out.
Well, I think it helps when you're older for some reason. I don't know why, but...
Well, we talked about that with Mary Ellen the other night. Mike Larson is writing jokes for her, and she's getting laughs with these jokes.
Yeah. I don't know why that is, but I do think it's easier to get a laugh when you're older.
Well, because you can do old jokes.
I mean, I guess you can do old jokes when you're young, I guess. I mean, I guess it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
What's the joke that Mike Larson wrote for Mary Ellen about Sacagawea?
I think it was when I tell students about, or I go to the school sometimes and I talk to the students about Sacagawea, and when I do, they think we went to school together.
It's a good line.
It is, yeah.
Good line.
And, you know, I never thought about it because then Mary Ellen brought up the fact that that to young people, old is just old. And I was like, you know, I don't know about that. And then I got to thinking, and I was like, I don't know if it's the same kind of concept, but I listen to a lot of older music, and it's all just, like, older music. I mean, like I listen, we did a Prohibition-era murder mystery thing with my cousin, and so I put on a Great Depression-era playlist, and I knew a lot of the songs on there. I was like, dang, I thought these were just, like, you know, 50s.
Well, I think it's baseball announcers had that. You know, they kept these announcers around forever because people liked them. Harry Carey, Joe Nuxall, Ernie Harwell, Jack Brickhouse, Vin Scully, Bob Uecker. You know, just because they were old guys.
Is that his actual name, Bob Uecker?
I think so.
Well, that's a good name.
Yeah. So they just kept them around. I mean, they weren't the best announcers in the world, but they were entertaining to listen to. Harry Carey was a terrible announcer in the end of his life. But boy, he just brought the excitement to the ball game. He was great.
I think Family Guy does a parody of Harry Carey where he's just like, what?
Well, his call of a game was very interesting. I mean, he had a stroke at one point, and he just did not want to stop working, and he was going to take it to the end.
Well, fair enough. I respect it.
But then when he got up there and sang, "Take Me Out to the Ball Game," people would stop what they were doing. Even non-baseball fans would come in and watch him do that. People loved it. He did it with Hillary Clinton up in the booth.
When she was first lady?
Yes. You ever see that? We can close out with that today. I'm sure that clip's still... Oh, by the way, he sang that at the Democratic Convention. That's how popular it was.
Was he a Democrat?
Well, see, now the secret's out. People aren't going to like that. Harry was a Democrat. But Ronald Reagan... Now, he didn't sing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" with Ronald Reagan.
Who was he for? The Cubs?
Cubs.
Oh, well, I can see that. Chicago.
Yep, here it is. Now, I'll tell you, poor Hillary. You know, she was from Chicago, so I think that's why this happened, but
I see.
She's so stiff at this particular point. You know, watch it if you can, but here's what it sounded like. And trust me, Harry was no Pavarotti to begin with, so here you go. Wrigley Field, I believe this was somewhere around 96. First Lady of the United States, Hillary Clinton, Harry Carey.
The First Lady, and she's expressed a desire to sing a song. So, here's how we do it. I hope Gary has forgotten the tune. I hope you haven't forgotten the words. I hope I haven't forgotten the words. And I hope you haven't forgotten the words. One, two, three, take.
Harry looked. Hillary looked happy to be up there, didn't she? She looked like she was having a great time with Harry Carey there. Oh God!
Is she a baseball fan, or was she there for like I don't know, public view or whatever?
I don't know.
Or both. I guess it could be both.
She had a combination. But
she had a baseball hat on. I can give her some respect for that, I guess.
She did have a baseball hat on.
She looked strange with that with a ball cap on.
Oh, you thought so?
She looked strange with a ball cap on.
You know, every time. So, how did you like Harry's singing?
Well, you know, I think I've heard. I'm sure I've heard him sing the song before. I mean, it's.
Would you want to watch that every afternoon?
I don't know about every afternoon. I mean, that's. Maybe every once in a while, but I feel like you get tired of it after a minute.
Oh, did you hear them yelling back? The crowd loved it. That was a big... They still do that at Wrigley to this day. Now they have guest conductors. in the seventh inning.
Was he the announcer all the way up until he died, or did he retire?
Until he died. Oh, here it is. Yep. At the DNC, Harry Carey leads. This is the title. Harry Carey leads seventh inning stretch at the 1996 DNC in Chicago. Now, this is not at the ball field. This is at the Democratic National Convention. So it's quick. It's only a minute five, but here it is with all the Democrats.
I know what we're here for, the seventh inning stretch. I know you've been here, you're here from all over the country. There's a chance for them to hear you back home. We're going to sing it, and sing it good and loud, especially loud. A one, a two, a three. Take me out to the ball game.
That was wonderful, wasn't it?
I don't think he was as intoxicated there.
You know, I'd love to be. Now, Mary Ellen was there during that, but she doesn't remember that. How could you not remember that?
Yeah. Well, maybe she wasn't in the whole arena or whatever.
I don't know. I just know people loved Harry Carey.
Well, I mean, he was a funny kind of fellow.
You know, when I'm telling you, one of my favorite times ever on the air is when the Cubs were playing the Indians.
Is there a video of the last time he sang Take Me Out of the Ball Game?
Yeah. Same thing.
I mean, he sound just as good?
Well, that's it right there.
Oh.
Yeah. This was the last time. I think it was a cold day because he had a coat on. But this was the last time he did it.
Well, how do you know?
Because I know. I've seen this video.
Oh. Okay.
This is the last time this year. So let me hear you. Good and loud. All right, Gary. A one. A two. A three. Take me out to the
sounded good up until the last one, I guess.
Well, he died a few months later. He Valentine's Day. He was having dinner with his wife.
He died on Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
That's a rough Valentine's Day.
Well, he was having dinner with his wife that night and collapsed at a table.
Well, that's...
Went down.
It's a rough way to go.
But you know, he was a very interesting fellow. He had a whole little sense of humor. You know, he was a spokesperson for Budweiser. When he was in. Did you know that?
That's hilarious.
Oh, you never seen that commercial?
Oh, Harry Carey speaking on behalf of the Budweiser.
Oh, they came up with a whole campaign about Harry Carey and Budweiser. Well, maybe we'll play that to round out this. This commercial was one of the most popular commercials. Yeah, there it is. This is a ridiculous commercial when you think about it. But this ran... Oh, Jesus. I remember this now. Here we go. Harry Carey selling Budweiser.
I'm a man who likes to have some fun. So every day, I make sure I have me some. I root for the team that makes you stand up and say. And I go for the beer that's known.
Oh, That's why he had a stroke. You know, that was it's things like that right there.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He understood that it was not rocket science what he was doing. You know, it was baseball announcing. You didn't have to be serious all the time. There's one more thing here now that this reminds me. They did another weirdo commercial with him, which was promoting the Cubs' new season. Which I have you ever heard the song Wild About Harry?
No.
It's a famous song. But so they decide to do this. Where is that commercial? Because that is a funny one as well. Oh, there it is. Oh, it became a classic WGN promo. Not just a promo, it's a classic now. Here we go.
I'm just wild about Harry. Harry's wild about me. He's Chicago's one and only personality. A home run with me. Oh yes, and I'm just wild about Harry. I could spend my days wild because the place on our own channel.
Holy cow!
Don't miss WGN at 60 Sunday.
See, that was a baseball announcer. See, football announcers don't do that.
And that was to promote a new season of baseball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and WGN was all over the place. But when the Cubs were about to win the World Series, that was so much fun.
They got that man up there dancing around.
Oh. But I'm just going to play this to round out. You've heard Go Cubs Go, haven't you? You've had to have heard that. I played this when the Cubs won the World Series. I love that. That's one of my favorite moments.
Is it a song?
It's a song. They play this at Wrigley Field all the time, but it's so good. Here we go.
Season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Nation's gone, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today. They're saying, go, Cubs, go!
Song?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm gonna rewrite it.
Well, we're gonna be there tonight with the call of the action. It's gonna be like an old Cubs game, I think. Rivalry. River Valley versus Harding.
Are there rivalries in baseball?
Yeah.
Who are the Cubs rivals?
White Sox, crosstown. Alright, it's gonna be a crosstown rivalry tonight. You'll want to be there for the call of the action.
Absolutely.
Tune it in starting at 6:45. We'll be there. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
The second day the station was on the air, and his three-day-a-week program ran on the station until April the 8th, 2020. Charlie passed away in May of 2020 at the age of 85.